five years mm-hmm. of age. And then the mother died, and then my dad took me in different homes. So there was always a different home mm-hmm. all the time. Finally, he died when I was 10. So he, when he died, I went into this other foster home. I was placed in another foster home, and I stood it for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And like you become an age of sense. And I sat down and wrote to an agent, native, he's an Indian
mm-hmm.
agent.
Mm-hmm.
I said, take me to that school on the hill,
mm-hmm.
and where my brothers were. So I went to that school, residential school. And those residential schools are very controversial in Canada.
Yeah.
But for me, they were, it was good.
Yeah, I heard that from other people too.
Yeah.
It's very, some of them have bad experiences and some very, very positive.
But,
yeah.
You know, when you are a survivor, when you have hardship all your life, you do not consider that hard, you know. You survive, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So I was there 4 years, then grew up. Your story is the life story.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote the life story as far back as I could remember.
Mm-hmm.
Like 5 years old when my
mm-hmm.
mother dies
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
right up to now.
Mm-hmm.
And the award that I have received. Now, as I told you, Prime Minister called me.
Yeah.
And so I agreed to go to last year to Ottawa to meet the Queen.
When was that? Do you know the date?
July 1, 1992. And I was given that appointment to Privy Council.
Wonderful. I wasn't aware of that.
No?
No. So you're a member of the Privy Council now?
No.
What does that actually entail?
I'm an advisor to the Queen. That's what it's for, advisor to the Queen. And it's, well, the people that receive those awards are usually premiers and,
mm-hmm.
Leaders of the country, huh?
Yeah.
Now, the past year, there were two women that received the award, and that's been since 1870. And we are not MPs, huh?
Oh, so it's the first time.
I don't know. She is, she is in a different expertise, and
mm-hmm.
I'm a native individual.
Mm-hmm.
The Prime Minister called me here. I was on my way to speak at St. Effect's.
Yeah.
And phone rang, and my granddaughter was standing there with my suitcase. Secretary, man secretary, Prime Minister wishes to speak to you. So I covered the mouthpiece. I said, Audrey, she's 18 years old. I said, Prime Minister wishes to speak to me first. Please wait. She put the suitcase down. His low voice, Prime Minister
Mulroney
was up. So I was talking to him, and he said, I've been receiving word that you do not want to come to accept the appointment. Well, I said, I have a dying granddaughter who is more important to me than
mm-hmm.
any award in this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And, he said, how sick is she and all that? So he
mm-hmm.
was the concern. I said, well, we don't know how long she will live.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went on to this award you will receive will be from the Queen, and we wish you would come. And it is the birthday of our country, 125 years, and we wish you would receive this award at this time. It will benefit your people across the nation.
Yeah.
So when he said it like that, I agreed, because I always want
mm-hmm.
what is good for my people. And me and the mother of this child went, and we were there 2 days, and he said, don't worry, everything will be looked after. And so we were on first class. We got there, first class again. And we were treated very
lots
well,
of leg
but
space.
We were there and I met the Queen. And when I got up, we were taught, you know, I don't know, 10 or 12 people have received that award, some sort of award from the Queen. And we were taught, you know, protocol, huh? You know, what you do
you
incline your head or something. When I got to that part, Rita Jo, you know, said to my name, and I went up. I did not bow. I do not bow to anybody on this earth, maybe the Pope or a spiritual person I will bow, but not to to me. And well, anyway, I went up to her. But when I got to this little woman, I looked at her as people looked at me from time to time, from top to bottom, you know, scrutinized.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at this beautiful person when I met her, and I thought to myself, we're same age, we're both grandmas, but she's in a better shape than I am. And I thought she was such a lovely woman.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, two opposites, eh? I'm the poor person. She's very,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I said, the thing, first thing that came to my mind, how are your grandchildren?
Mm-hmm.
So I put her, for that part, we're on the same level.
Yeah.
We're both grandmas. She's a very rich lady, very
yeah.
famous lady. I'm a poor person, and I'm famous too.
Yeah.
But I'm a poor person. And when I asked her about that, about her grandchildren, she was taken aback,
mm-hmm.
unexpected,
mm-hmm.
and she thought it was so, you know,
mm-hmm.
the smile that came onto her
mm-hmm.
face and the concern for her grandchildren, you know, it lighted up her face.
That's
huh?
good. Uh-huh.
So I thought, you know, and I heard the man, next one coming behind me, so I had to move on. And she was still looking at me as I went, and I went like this. I waved at her
mm-hmm.
and went on to, you know, I met the Prime Minister. Oh, yes, I told him, thank you for your recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
It was on his recommendation that I received the award.
Mm-hmm.
So I thanked him for that, and he said, you deserve it. You've been on the road a long time. And then I met her, and then the Governor General,
mm-hmm.
and then the signing of the register. And we spent a few days, me and Caroline, the one who went with me.
Yeah.
Her baby was dying, so we came home the second day. We were there 2 days for the award ceremony in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we came home. Our immediate concern was to go directly to the
yeah.
hospital. And I remember a little girl was having a hard time, but sleeping. And my daughter looks at me, she says, Mom, you go home. I do not want to be concerned for two people. Because she's more concerned about her daughter, and she would worry about me because I'm not doing
mm-hmm.
well too. So I went home, and she stayed the night, and stayed every day until her baby died. We were with the little baby and a little while. I remember that day I was there, and then I came home, and I left my son there. And as soon as I got home, half hour after, he phoned, Teresa's gone. That was her name, Teresa Ann. So that was, you know, that's why I didn't go to Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to go to Ottawa. It was for this little girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she died, and life goes on.
How's your daughter doing?
And then, yeah. And now she has another little girl. Oh, what a beautiful little girl. Oh my gosh, a little native.
Mm-hmm.
Black, piece of black hair and complexion that's pink.
Mm-hmm.
And she came here yesterday. So I'm, you know, we're happy about that part. She's,
does she live on Escasoni also?
She lives in Escasoni down
mm-hmm.
Trailer there. He has a little 7-year-old and a little baby.
No, I think I met her and
Caroline.
The little boy too.
She's
Caroline.
The one that's creative. She's
yeah.
Very creative. This
mm-hmm.
is her artwork, a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, I'm happy about that part. So last year, I was speaking at Carleton University.
Yeah.
And after speaking, these couple of people approached me. They're from National Film Board.
Oh, yeah.
And they said, we would like to make a film based on your poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And would I agree? Yes, I would agree. Only if you make it in a positive image.
Yeah.
So they said they would. And they promised that I would be the final, you know.
Editor?
Editor, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I agreed. And the man got the funding, Brian Guntz, and the cameraman. And they came, they lived, they stayed at Keddie's.
Mm-hmm.
And they came every day.
Mm-hmm.
And we were working on it over 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty near a whole
six?
Year.
Gee. Mm-hmm. They well, stayed at Keddie's all the time?
No, not all the time. They came mm-hmm. and we would stay. We would work together for a week. Then they would go home to Halifax. A month later, or 2 months
mm-hmm.
later, they would come again. They were trying to get the different seasons of the year.
I see.
So,
they wanted the whole
winter
cycle.
Scenery
mm-hmm.
and summer and fall.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it was done. And they would come and we would do the scenery again.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful film. It was shown on May 24, 1993. It was shown this area over here, Atlantic
mm-hmm.
area. Well, some people told me they saw it in Maine. And they saw it in Ontario, New Brunswick,
mm-hmm.
Prince Edward Island, all along this eastern seaport. They
mm-hmm.
saw it, eh? And it's supposed to be shown national.
It's CBC.
Yeah. And it's supposed to be shown national this fall sometime. And I'm happy about that part. And it is going to be, the market is for the learning institutions.
Yeah.
Across the country.
Yeah.
And that's what it's for.
So you'll be reaching far
yeah.
more young people
yeah.
than before.
Mm. So I'm happy about that part. And it's a very beautiful, very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It gives a good feeling to a native and to other cultures as well. Especially, you know, if, well, most of my life is like from being very poor and reasonable accommodation, and I'm happy the way I am. I am not rich, but I am happy to have 3 meals a day, my
mm-hmm.
comfortable, my family around me, and my husband is dead, but you know, the grandchildren and children around me, yeah? And I need them at this time because of my medical condition. And I have a loving family.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, my family is loving. One of my daughters just came home from Maine, her and
mm-hmm.
her husband and her 3 children, for berry picking, blueberry
mm-hmm.
picking.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be gone 3 weeks for the year and I missed them, so I hear they're home now. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
So with that other book out of the way, the autobiography, then I was working on another book. The first one is going to be made into a thicker volume.
Yeah.
So I've written a lot of poetry to, you know,
mm-hmm.
for that one. But it has to be relevant to that time that I was talking about.
Yeah.
Like I'm growing.
Yeah.
You know how it is. You
mm-hmm.
Progresses and everything. So I was working on them poetry for that particular book. And I'm working on that, and we're going to do it this fall sometime,
mm-hmm.
sometime before Christmas maybe. I'm in touch with the publisher who is from Cape Breton area.
Mm-hmm.
It's like republishing, but adding more poetry
the into first
that
one.
Book. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So again, and then...
And that's with the same publisher?
No, it's a different publisher. I don't. He wrote that book. It's about PhD Trapp. His book is pretty well known. His writing is pretty well known because he's a writer just like you. PhD Trapp is the name of a famous book he wrote. It's being used everywhere, all over the place, different countries. Well, anyway, he's a publisher now, so we're publishing my book, huh? And so that out of the way, then there were songs that I've had in my possession over since I've been writing. Different songs and different, it's about a native, you know, it's like poetry, but it's about native expression. So one of them is called 500 Years. And
is that a song?
You remember I wrote Okasan?
Yeah.
And you remember the guy I got in touch with, Gordon Smith?
Yeah.
He teaches at Queen's University.
Yeah.
Well, Gordon asked me if I had any more songs besides the Okasan, and I told him I had these, several of them. So what I did was I taped them on, I taped them and I typed them out and I gave them all to him, 12 of them. Took them to Queen's University and they worked on them a whole year. And we have a lot of them on a song sheet. So the one, and one of his students is this Kevin.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And Kevin liked this 500 Years.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Hello? Yes. Oh, hello. Okay. Oh, yeah, very nice. Where are you at? Oh, yeah, back home. Okay. Yes. 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 Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes. All right. Thank you for calling. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, very beautiful, yeah. I have a German fellow here with me now. He traveled from Germany, and we're doing little interview things. You know, the book on a portion of my life and part of my poetry, and now he's following it up with something else. He just arrived last night, and we're talking at the kitchen table. So you'll call again on the 24th then, when you come back. All right then. Yeah. Well, I hope you have a good trip and be careful. Okay, bye for this. Okay, God bless you. Okay, bye-bye.
Talking at the Kitchen Table, that would be a nice title for the article on your, on you.
What?
Talking at the Kitchen Table.
Oh, yeah. This fellow is another guy. He used to work at Museum of Civilization.
Oh, yeah.
So he is in touch with me, and he's arranging a festival that I will be attending in October. It'll be a big gathering of people.
In Ottawa?
Yeah. He's in Halifax now, though. He used to be in Ottawa, but he's stationed in Halifax now. His name is Denny Blouin, B-L-O-U-I-N, something like that, his last name. Denny B. Blouin, yeah. So he's going to get back to me. Well, anyway, well, I thought when I got in touch with this professor of music,
yeah,
he wrote my Oka song, and then they worked on my songs for the rest of the year, 92, 93.
Mm-hmm.
So this Sunday, mm-hmm, was a concert. Me and Kevin,
mm-hmm,
we sat down, we learned that 500 years. It's a beautiful song.
Mm-hmm.
It's on a native perspective that I tried to teach you my humble way.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful words to it. And why don't you look at me? We are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you look at me? You know, I'm pointing out,
yeah,
we are the same. So it's a very beautiful song. So we were working on that one, and we are going to sing it at SCANA, which is a conference that will be held in Halifax on September 11, 12, 13, and 14. And, you know, I usually go to those native conferences, and I take part as an elder.
Yeah, yeah.
I usually go on one of the panel discussions or something, huh? So we're going to introduce the song, that one, 500 years at that particular time. We're working on a songbook, and we're going to try to bring it out, that 500 years, on a single recording.
Yeah.
And another one,
would that be on tape, or?
Yeah, that'd be on tape and a recording, a regular recording.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to ask for funding to make a recording. So with that done, and another one I'm going to put on a song sheet, and it's a Christmas song, the
mm-hmm,
other one.
Mm-hmm.
And that one I love too. It's called And Then We Heard a Baby Cry.
Mm-hmm.
It's a native expression again about a baby being born on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So I'm going to bring that out in a single song sheet, and the other as a single recording for now, and then work on the other songs later. Well, we're working on a song sheet every day, me and Kevin, huh? So
he's a musicologist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So every day we work on them, and then we're trying to finish by October, because he's going to Toronto in October, so he wants to take the manuscript,
mm-hmm,
and then the professor, Gordon Smith, will computerize them, and then
mm-hmm,
the manuscript will be ready.
That's
and
wonderful.
Then we'll publish it. And one of the songs on the music sheet, which has never been done before, is the honor song of the Mi'kmaq.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful song. It's becoming very popular by different drum groups,
mm-hmm,
in the community,
mm-hmm,
here. And when I wanted to do my movie, I asked our young man here, who Mike Doucette, who's on a song, which is like a shaman or a medicine man.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really, but it's right now he's fasting in the woods or something.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So him, he's sort of a boss about things like that. So I went to him and I asked if I may use the honor song of the Mi'kmaq,
yeah,
in my,
yeah,
film.
Mm-hmm.
And he said yes, because I said the film that we are doing is of native expression and to bring a good image of our people. So it is beautiful, I said, and, you know, I try to push the idea down, and he was happy. He said, use the song. It's a sacred song. It's like to the drum beat.
Yeah.
And the words, I'm fascinated because the words are say, let us honor our ancestry. Let us be together and help each other. We honor our ancestry. Our Creator put us on earth. You know, that, it has a beautiful sound to it. And a young man, Sarah's son, Joel, he sang the song for me in for the film.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted that particular song to be in my songbook.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first time in history that song has been on a song sheet. So it's an intertribal song.
Yeah.
You know, other tribes mm-hmm. know it in
yeah.
their words. So if it is on a song sheet, anybody on this earth can sing it
yeah.
and put their words into it, you know,
mm-hmm.
and use our melody. And that will, the world over. Oh yes, another thing. One of my this past May 26th, I was invited to be a speaker at a graduation at Dalhousie.
Yeah.
And I was given the Doctorate of Laws. That was in May, graduation time. So I was a major speaker at that graduation. And one of the poems that I read after my speech was The Great Brave. Now there was a young man in the audience who graduated, music. He phoned me and asked if he may put that into music, The Great Brave. He liked the native expression, so he's creating a song that to that effect. Also, I received a call from a man from Boston.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Holland.
Yeah.
He's Dutch. He phoned me and wanted to meet with me. He saw my book in Boston. And he's fascinated by that particular poem, The Great Brave. So he said, may I meet
mm-hmm.
with you?
Mm-hmm.
And he is also composing a piece on
mm-hmm.
The Great Brave
mm-hmm.
music.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be like a play.
Yeah.
And it'll be a song. And he's doing it now. So, two different parts of the country. North America and in Holland. Two different songs about this particular poem.
Yeah.
So I'm happy about that part. The man from Holland came here, we had a meeting 2 days. My daughter was here. My oldest daughter was here at the time he came. He said, I am composing a beautiful song, the melody, but they are your words in the song. And he said, I want to compose a beautiful song that will the whole world
mm-hmm.
will love, you know, the melody and the song. And it's by a native individual and a Dutch individual. That's what he was pushing. And I said, thank you very much for your...
Do you know that person's name?
It's hard to pronounce. He has not... I have a letter
mm-hmm.
in my file somewhere. His name. I will look for it later on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he...
You know those poems that I gave you? I've got another book by the same poet. I translate him into German.
Oh.
He's in the Netherlands a lot. He's Cheyenne. And they've used
they
his songs too.
Meet.
There's.
Yeah. They will meet, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll find your name, I'll name of him later. And I'm happy about that part, you know, because it moved this man. It moved his heart when he saw the words in Boston. And he came down, and he met with me here. I remember he was wearing sunglasses when he came. He was about your age. And before he came, I phoned my daughter. I said, there is a man coming. Something about a song. I said, will you be here to witness it? My oldest daughter came at the same time. And he was there. And he was sitting there. That time's not speaking, just studying us, me mostly. So I was talking to him, he would ask questions, I was talking to him. And after a while, he told us he's a psychic. So he studied me and my daughter. I did not feel uncomfortable, but he told me, he said, you two individuals have good vibes, good hearts, yeah, he told us. So we appreciated that, and my daughter and me, and, you know, if he sees how we feel, like, you know, it's good, and I felt honored that he said, you two give out good feelings towards another,
That's why people come back.
Yeah. That's why you come back, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm happy about that. So, I don't know what else to do. I'm working hard on the songs now. Hopefully, they will be well received by the public.
You, there's one thing I wanted to ask you. You said in the beginning, there's songs that you've had for a long time. Did you sort of create them in your mind, or were they songs that you got from other people? Or?
No. The way with me is, when I'm invited to speak somewhere, like a very special program or something, I always ask them, what is this about?
Yeah.
And they will say, well, your part is the Native perspective part. So I always ask. Now, one song I wrote, it's called The Wishing Game. Well, when I was asked to speak, it was for literature.
Yeah.
It was for, not exactly literature, but it was on, you know, people that communicate, that barely communicate sometimes. There was a mute. And there was people with learning disabilities and literacy.
So
I was invited to be a speaker then. So I wrote this song that time for that particular purpose.
Yeah.
It was called The Wishing Game. I sang it in Native and in English. And I remember singing the song to the mute person while I was playing the drum. I was singing the song at a podium. I was not looking at the ministers of education, premier, and all these people. I was not looking at them. I was looking at this person that his communication is by sign language. So I was singing the song, and when I sang the English part, there was another person translating with the sign language. And she was curious. And then when she learned what the words were, it brought a smile to her face. And that's the part I means more than anything.
Yeah.
That was my pay that day.
Yeah.
That's the payoff. Bringing a beautiful smile to that person's face.
Yeah.
And I felt good. So when I was singing the Native part, then the translator put her hands away. I had to laugh at that part. She didn't know. And there was a Native people in, some few Natives in the audience, and they came up to me and, you know, they felt good about the Native part I sang. So these songs over a period of years accumulated, and I kept them on file. I didn't, well, I had no thought of publishing until I came to that part of Oka crisis, and then I wanted to publish Oka song. They have it up in Kaganawaga now. Where it happened. So they have it up there, and they are singing it in English, the two verses in English and the two verses in Mohawk. But they are, I don't know if they're going to record it. They are singing it on radio station and television and stuff like that, and public gatherings and stuff. They liked the song because it was about the crisis at the time. So
there was a lot of things and songs and poetry that came out of Oka.
Oka, yeah, a lot of it. And you know, they're finding out about that, you know, a couple of years later, they're finding out about where the shot came from.
Yeah.
Young man. The natives were in front of him, but the shot was came from the side. But they are finding out, you know,
it was,
that all that information is coming out now. Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't like to talk about politics, but my part was to point out to the world the sadness in our eyes. It is there. Like all minorities, you will see it. Sometimes they come over here, and they have it hard, and you can see the sadness in their eyes. So that's what I'm pointing out to the world. You know, sometimes it's a crisis like that brings the heartache and sadness to the eyes of my people and to the children. Confusion to the children. Like in any country, it's confusion that look at what's happening in Russia and look how miserable the children are, you know, and to other countries. So it's, we adults can behave ourselves. We show our children that how it's done is a peaceful way. Eh? I try to tell my people, that's why I made the film. I point out in the film, even after I am gone, it will, I say in the film, no negativeness, please.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I point out to the children, mm-hmm. no negativeness, please.
You said that. No.
If you must write or, you know, whatever it is I want to give out, song or whatever. No negativeness, please.
Mm-hmm.
Positive. Look at positive part. So that's the way it is with the film that I worked on too. I know the disease is getting to me, and after a while I will not want to be seen in public. This will be my own. It would be hard to get to have a meeting with me because I will refuse to see people after a while. Well, I am working now, yet public, you know,
mm-hmm.
public. This is one of the people that called me up. And I'll be
mm-hmm.
somewhere in September, October, and I will be singing out and talking up in Halifax. I went to Labrador.
Yeah.
In April. And one of the places I went to was Davis Inlet.
Yeah.
And Davis Inlet had a problem with children. I asked to see the children at, when I got there.
Yeah.
And they said they are still at Poundmaker in Manitoba.
Yeah.
So I was disappointed not to see the children, but I met the children that are there in Davis
mm-hmm.
Inlet. And I noticed it was a very harsh living conditions. I looked at their homes, I looked at the people, and I tried to communicate with different people there around that two native reserves that I was sent to. There was another one near Goose Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the living conditions. And it's like Third World.
Yeah.
Living conditions,
yeah.
very poor.
Yeah.
And I was so disappointed. This is Canada. Well, this is supposed to be not overly rich, but there should be better living conditions for the people who gave up their land.
Yeah.
And I was trying to inspire the children. So I was talking to their teachers and to children, the teenagers, and I tried to inspire them to write about their experiences. And after I was there 6 days, different school every day, two different schools every day. Not only the native community, but non-native
mm-hmm,
as well.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got home, Somebody stole my drum on the airplane, by the way. I lost my little drum on the airplane.
Mm.
Well, anyway, when I got home, a couple of weeks later, I received a call from the Minister of Education there.
Yeah.
And he called me up. He said, they are working on a book at Davis Anthology. They're working on a book. And they are also working on a film. They're showing what is happening there, you know. I don't know what the film is about, but
mm-hmm.
they are working on a film. And from time to time they call me up and, well, helping people different parts of the country is, you know, you do what little you can do, huh? She's like you, you're coming from the other side doing your bit, huh? I was...
Sometimes it's almost frustrating because there's only so little that one, as one person, can do.
Mm-hmm.
But still one's got to do it. What else
you
is there to do?
You've got to do that little bit, even if it's a little grain of sand there.
Yeah.
You got to do what you
yeah.
think you
yeah.
can do, yeah.
But sometimes it's, like what I said about the situation in Germany, sometimes it's...
Yeah.
You feel so almost helpless, but it's... as if it's not enough, and
yeah.
time is, things are deteriorating
more.
So fast, and you
yeah.
think you can't do it all, and
mm-hmm.
you know that other people are working on that, but I think as
yeah.
long as you know that throughout the world,
yeah.
people are working on it,
yeah,
that's important.
I feel frustrated because I am ill sometimes, and
mm.
oh my God, and I say to myself, I'm going to do it as long as I can.
Yeah.
I cannot type with the left hand because I make mistakes, so
mm-hmm.
I try to teach myself to write with the
mm-hmm.
right hand, but I'm still writing, and that's an effort that I will continue to do as long as I can, plus keeping my craft
yeah.
supplied. I have to get up 5 in the morning and make craft,
mm-hmm.
so I will have a there all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah.
I asked my son to bring me, I said, bring me 5 blocks of that black ash from
mm-hmm.
Brunswick
mm-hmm.
so we can work at it and pound it and
mm-hmm.
make, you know, craft with it. Oh, you feel like you want to do these things. I feel like I want to do these different things, and even if it's bring inspiration to other people, you know, yeah.
Sometimes it also happens, you say something or do something and somebody picks it up and you're not even aware of it, and then years later you get a feedback.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm 48 now. Huh?
Yeah.
And the students that I get now, they could be my own children, so I feel pretty old compared
yeah.
to when
yeah.
I started, and
you're working
I get the
grandchildren
that. Yes, and now I get some feedbacks, and sometimes it's awesome. You just said a little thing,
mm-hmm.
and it struck somebody.
And they went on and did
it
something.
Went on and
did
something. Did
something,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
yeah. Oh, that's good.
And there are people all throughout the world. Like I told you about this friend of mine, the lady who's in. New Zealand now.
Mm-hmm.
They're good people all over.
Yeah.
But there are also a lot of bad things happening also.
Oh yeah, you wish you can hold the world.
Yeah.
And keep everything peaceful. But you can't.
Yeah.
You know? There's a lot of negativeness. There's a lot of negativeness.
Yeah.
I was waiting for Mike to come out of the woods. And my son came, when he came home last week, he said, Mike is in the woods for 7 days. I don't know when he'll be out, but I'm sort of hoping when he comes out, I like to listen to the guy. And see what he has, because he prophecies come from his, you know, his, yeah. So I'm anxious for to learn when Mike will be out of the woods. I haven't. I was so busy with my songs that I forgot I was supposed to phone his wife and ask when he would be out. But I want to be the first one to welcome him and to listen to what he has to say. Revelations that he will bring and come out. It's kind of awesome, you know, kind of scary. But you want to learn what he learned.
I remember when I was here 3 years ago, and I asked you, are there any people on Eskasoni, Mi'kmaq people, who sort of believe in traditional pre-Christian ways?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I had the feeling from your response you didn't like them very much at all.
Yeah,
and
well,
what you say now seems that maybe...
Well, I have liked that part most of my 20 years that I've been doing the research. On my part, I like that traditional, those ideal things that were there, that my people took part in. Now, I like that part, and I was happy it was returning, Mia, because when you do research into anything, you find out if it's good or bad. And I have found out it is good. So I was happy. Now there are some people in the community that are not happy.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, how I look at it is the brainwashing of 500 years, 300 years, let's say 1610, from 1610.
It's almost
483 years of brainwashing Christian belief. Now, that time they told us, put that stuff away. It's no good. It's heathen. It's pagan.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not good. All right. My people.